All right, let's get started. So stress management, it's kind of a topic that has very been top of mind for me. And so I'm glad that some of you have chosen it as a topic to talk about. I have definitely noticed its impact on me in the last 4 or 5 months. And so I want to kind of talk to this group about what is stress management? You know, why do we think it's so important? Some of it may be obvious, and then spend most of the time talking about, well, what does it mean to manage stress? So I know some of you did ask for this topic, and I would love to start by actually hearing a little bit of context of why you're interested and what would you want to get out of this discussion. And so I'll turn it over to you guys first. Anybody want to jump in and share?
Although, I mean, for me, I know that stress impacts my life. A lot of the time, it impacts my health. And so it really has direct impact on my health. And that's why I would love to learn about how to manage it. Especially right now that there are no places to go work out and meet people makes it harder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anybody else? That's great. Thank you, Roshi, for sharing.
I this is Ala. So I echo what Roshi said, right? So for me, I don't get to sleep if I stress. And, you know, work stress specifically, there's a lot going on and being exposed to more partners, more meetings, and when you have to speak, that somehow makes me stress. and then I don't sleep. And if I don't sleep, that turns into the vicious circle of more stress and so forth. So I was just looking for some advice on how to manage it, how to step away from it, how to see it coming, right? If you can recognize that stress is oncoming, maybe you can stop it before it snowballs.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that, like, you both shared a little bit about why it matters, right? It's the one that's not mentioned is actually, it actually affects our direct work performance as well. If you look in the past at when you were stressed versus when you were not, I would bet you could remember being kind of in the flow and kind of really high performing when you're kind of when your stress is well managed. But when you're kind of in a stressful situation where it becomes overwhelming, I believe that it actually impacts how you learn, how you listen, how you work with others, as well as how much you can think clearly about a difficult problem. And that actually has the snowball effect of, you know, feeling not on the game. So in addition to kind of obviously the larger cause or the larger impact of stress is definitely lack of sleep, potentially health, how your life happiness is outside of work as well. But within work, there is also just a lot of impact. The same person with the exact same skills background when stressed can perform so differently than when you're not stressed. I feel that as well. I mean, I was sharing that in the last 4 months I've been stressed, and sometimes I can recognize it, sometimes I can't, but most of the time, I notice the consistent theme is when I am stressed, I cannot think clearly. That's the best way I can describe it. Or I don't think as many options. I can't be as creative. You almost feel like you're a little bit stuck. I also think that when you're stressed to a certain extreme, there's like stages of stress. When you're stressed and you don't manage it, it gets worse. It can become depressive and incapacitating, right? It can become in a way where all you can think about is the stress and nothing else, which then doesn't help you do anything in solving any of the challenges in work and life. And so stress in some ways could be the kryptonite to a high-performing professional, to a high-performing athlete, to a high-performing, you name it. So I think this is why this topic is important to me and something that I still am learning a lot about. But also, I would love to hear your experiences about how to manage it, as well as how it's impacting you when you are able to manage it or when you're not able to.
I'll say, Leigh, that if you get, you know, if times where you're not able to manage your stress, you can also develop bad habits, particularly health habits, or habits that affect your health.
Very true.
That becomes a downward spiral, right? So,
That
forces you over time to sort of put strategies together to help you deal with, you know, different types of stress, right? There's professional stress, family stress, life stress, right? I mean, it comes in all forms.
Very true. Very true. And I know that's a very good point. There's a little bit of habit forming if you stay too long in that mode. Thank you for the comment. Yep. So let me ask a provocative question. Is there such a thing as good stress? There's some studies I've seen, and I don't know. I think it's on my blog. It's a, I can send a link out. It's a stress curve. And the curve is like an N shape where it's kind of like at a certain moment of, and maybe you don't term this stress until it's negative, so you don't see that end curve until it kind of negatively affects you. But there is a level of, there's always a level of uncertainty and things when you take on a new challenge, when there's something new, when you encounter something unexpected. That doesn't necessarily become bad stress. It may just amp you up to anticipate something. Right? It, you know, because when we learn something, we could get frustrated, but we could also be excited in absorbing something new. And so, like, I think there's research out there that says, hey, a certain level of, maybe the term is excitement or anticipation of something new, it's good for you. It kind of get you kind of a little bit of a different feeling in your body in anticipation to tackle and conquer a problem, for example. And that, some people would call that good stress. It's a feeling where your heartbeat may go up as well, but it doesn't, it's a functional stress where you're kind of, you're able to function, and it almost, you almost want to see how far you can get with this problem. You kind of are hopeful in that sort of positive part of the curve of the end. And then it hits a point where it becomes negative, where everything about your performance, your health, your habits, your sleep, all kind of starts to take a negative turn. You're not your best self. You're not getting enough rest. You don't interact. You can be even short-tempered with your colleagues, your loved ones, when you're stressed, right? And so I've been studying this for a couple of years because I find myself in quite a few different stressful situations. That's something that helps me understand myself, I guess. And so when I say there is such things as good stress, because it kind of is it's a unknown. It's probably just a definitional thing. And then for this conversation, we're really talking about, when do we recognize that stress is no longer good for you? When do we recognize, and can we recognize, that we are impacted by stress? So let me ask you this question. How many of you think that you can recognize it when you're stressed at the beginning of that curve, not so much like well into it? How many of you do you, I think I need to research some kind of one of those anonymous survey things to answer, but if you can just kind of voice out a little bit, what's your self-assessment of your level of awareness that you're hitting, you're starting to hit a highly stressed situation? And do you think you catch it early enough when it happens?
I don't think I catch it early enough. I don't think I realize it until it actually, like, either I don't sleep well or I start dreaming about certain, like I start dreaming about work. then I know I'm probably more stressed than I should be.
Ah, okay. You don't catch it enough. That's yeah, I mean, that's very likely for many of us, right? What else? Anybody else? I think somebody else was going to speak up.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, it, you know, sometimes you don't really know it's stressful until it becomes overwhelming. Because you think you can deal with it. And then at the point where, you know, like, all right, that's too much, that's when it becomes stress.
Yeah, it's almost like if I imagine that curve, it's almost halfway down the curve. That's probably most common that we'll catch it because we don't know what triggered us to stress. And we kind of just are doing, and all of a sudden, like, I like the comment Sunny made, is like, now we're dreaming about work. Now we're waking up stressing about what will happen next, you know, kind of thing. So those are times that's kind of interesting. How do we catch that? Anybody, you know, think they can catch it pretty early?
I know that I'm going to stress walking into a certain situation. So I know a certain setup is going to stress me out. I don't know, a delivery date, high exposure meeting. I know ahead of time, no matter how much I prepare, there's a level of stress that comes with that.
Yeah, like public speaking, stress most people out, right, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're talking about situational things that are uncertain. You're aware of that it's you're not sure, and therefore there's a little bit of a situational stress for a meeting or for an upcoming date.
Yeah, I think it's the anxiety when it hits me, when I'm starting to feel anxious, is when I know I'm stressing out. And like Rob said, right, I got to step back. I know I'm in it once the anxiety hits.
Yep. That's great. So let's really get to the how to cope, because I think we understand the stress is really bad for us, yet we still, I think, stay in the stressful mode probably longer than any of us would like, right? I would describe myself maybe aligned with kind of Sunny's thing. I might be overthinking something and I just can't stop thinking about it, and it affects my sleep. And then that affects my ability to actually think clearly because I've been thinking about it so much. That's an example I have of when I'm stressed. So how do you cope? I would love to hear how you have been coping so far. Perhaps all of us can learn from each other. And then I'll share a little bit of what I've researched thus far that's been helping, and what's I'm still researching that may still help in the future.
Hi, Lay. Dale.
Hey, Dale.
I just joined.
Hey.
Halfway through.
Welcome.
Hi. But hey, I'll throw out stuff.
Yes, please.
I think the question was, how do you cope with stress, right?
Yep, we're talking about stress
and
management. Yep.
In my old age now, I have, and through advice of others, so I recently, someone suggested I read this book on stoicism, and I think the book is called, like, it's Ryan Holiday, it's like The Hard Way is the Easy Way, I forget what it's called. But one of the things it talks about is how, like, light work and professional, it's supposed to be hard, right? Like, we're in professions where we're paid to solve difficult problems. And so recognizing that that's just what it is, it's not supposed to be easy, and it's not anything personal. It's not, you know, stress and things like that aren't personally directed to you. It's just what the situation is. The other thing I try to reassure myself is that if I'm experiencing stress because I'm not sure how to solve a problem, because I don't get stressed if I know what to do, right?
Right.
But if I don't know, what I do rely on is the fact that I've solved it every other time. Mm. And so maybe I don't know how to solve it right now, And maybe it's because I need to marinate it on it. Maybe it's because I need to talk to someone else. But I will solve the problem eventually. I've never not. And so knowing, it's a sort of like trust in the process that helps me to not go too crazy with the stress.
Yeah. So I think you're describing self-confidence in a practical way, right? Looking back at your own record and say, well, I've always been able to get through it. And that gives me the confidence that I would again. Right. And I love your comment about expect it to be hard. I actually think that's a very important comment because we are usually unhappy when we're not, it's something unexpected happened that's negative. And in a way, depending on what you expect the day to be and what the day ended up to be, or expect your job to be and what the job ended up to be, it's the delta that actually creates the emotion, not necessarily the thing itself, right? Everybody has a different perspective.
Exactly right.
No, I think that's very important to point out. And welcome, Dale. I'm glad
Thanks.
You could join.
And yet we believe that it should be, right? Like, we believe it should be easy.
Just like we don't think about dying every day, right? We think we should have like the best job, working with the best people, where partners are not mean and, you know, nobody's playing politics and things are in our control. All those things, I think we, you know, I think despite experience, right, we still have that sort of, I don't know if it's naivety or just like we think we can control it more. There is a interesting about how much we need to control that also leads to how much we stress. You know, the person that can go with the flow and maybe accept certain things they can't control may not stress as much. They may not, you know, but, you know, it's those are the things I've been sort of investigating in my pursuit of stress management. Is there are things we do to de-stress when we're in the situation, but how do we find the root cause of what's causing us to stress? That's actually deeper, because that's what might help us become aware sooner. And that actually may give us a little bit more power to, I want to say not stress, but note why we actually got triggered. Because the why, I think a few years, I've been sort of focused on the de-stress. Like, if I'm stressed, what do I do? What are the practical things? I could do this. I could do that. Like, how do I get my body less stressed? How do I get my mind, get it solved and things. And then only recently, I feel like I went a different level and I'm just exploring, well, how do I understand myself better? Because why does something stress me out but not somebody else? And they may be in a similar situation. And that's been fascinating for me. But that comes back to this whole, if somebody else expects it to be hard, then they might not stress. They will just start working hard at it. But they're like, well, I may or may not succeed in this, but I'm going to give it my best shot. Versus someone who says, well, I got to perfectly deliver this. Otherwise, I am X, Y, Z. Whatever story you're telling yourself in your head, that creates a different level of stress that isn't the same as the same person or a different person in a similar situation.
Building on what's been just recently said, and I'm a fan of Ryan Holiday as well. Something that I do, at least in the morning, I probably should do when I get more stressed, is spend some time meditating. And I actually use one of his books called The Daily Stoic. It gives you about a page and a half on a topic. Mm. From Stoicism and relates it to modern day. And it's just a way to create some space between me getting up, maybe getting stressed about what I'm going to do that day, and finding that space and getting centered before I embark, and then I have a much clearer head.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing. Meditation is one I've tried for maybe 8 years, 6 years. I feel like I know the concept. It's only, again, maybe in the last couple months, I feel like I really need to learn it. Before, I was like, I'm restless. I need to go for a long run and think through things. I can't meditate and count my breath. It's just not my thing. And then I realized more recently, maybe I got a little wiser or I got too stressed. I was like, oh, I really need to do that. And I found, you know, I'm glad I'm going to check that out. I think that was Alec that spoke up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check it out because the founder of Headspace, which is a new but very hot, I guess, meditation app. I don't know if you guys have come across it, came to speak at our company about getting Headspace. And I love the name. It's just very, it speaks to me. But also the way he walks through the meditation helps. It's not just about the breath, but the first minute he talks about a simple concept. It almost sounds like this daily stoic. He's a founder that's a business person, but he spent, I think, 10 to 15 years in a Buddhist temple across like India and some other places. So he has a fascinating kind of history. But also it's an app that I finally found that kind of works a little bit for me. But I'm realizing that having Headspace or having a little bit of time to not solve, not get up and drink coffee and start the day, but actually just breathe without thinking almost, if we can. There's something to it. I haven't quite figured it out, and I'm on like the fifth session of a series called Patience that I'm working on. But so far I'm starting to get hooked, and I see the value of it because it's in really bite-sized things, and it gives you almost permission, or you have to give yourself permission to give the time to just not solve or be getting ready or whatever, and just meditate. So I'll let you know how I do, but so far I've finally gravitated. Before, I think I've always been sort of like, other people meditate. It's just not my thing. I've learned a little bit more since.
Thanks for that tip, because I'm in that same bucket. That same boat.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you got to find the thing that works, right? I've tried like Peloton meditation, didn't work for me. I tried coach.me, didn't work. It kind of worked, but didn't quite have a lasting effect. Like, I just tried different things because so many people have said meditation really helps. And I'm like, I just don't get it. But then recently I was getting it. I was like, oh, I'll try a little bit more. So I would encourage you to test things out and see what works. But it does give you a little bit of space to almost watch your life. It's kind of an odd, my best analogy is that I want to see the Matrix. You know, one of my favorite movies is the Matrix. And I know that a lot of the times I am the person that's hooked up to that Matrix, driven by, you know, achievement or whatever it is that's driving us to get things done throughout the day, meetings and deliverables and learning objectives, career, family, blah, 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 blah. And meditation, I think I'm starting to see like, There's almost a glimpse of like, what machine am I hooked up to right now? It's like that. That's maybe my best way to describe how I'm experiencing so far. So, but it's like I spent 12 minutes a day doing it. So it's not a lot of time, but it's helpful. Anybody else that would love to share? So far, great tips on how to cope with stress. So one thing I would add, and someone had told me this a long time ago, and I do find this helpful, is in addition, a lot of us will say, hey, when stress comes, there's a physical response. There's like a heart rate, you know, you hold your breath, you don't sleep as well, there's all that stuff. So physical exertion, they've said, always helps. What I found is it helps to an extent, but I don't know about you. When I do physical exertion, it does relax the body, but my brain is still thinking about the thing I'm stressed about. So when I'm running, it does relax the body, but I'm still stuck on the problem. So I asked somebody this like a few years ago, and they said, you know what? there is a science behind this, because the brain is a single task brain. No matter how much we think we're multitasking, we're only just switching tasks every few seconds, and that's how we multitask. So you have to figure out what creative outlets you have, because that creative outlet is something you should do probably every week, something fun that you love, because it gives your thinking brain a break, a rest, because your creative brain, which is usually your right, I think it's the right brain, has to take over completely. You almost have to like let that brain take over, because then it can't help and think about how to solve a problem you can't figure out how to solve. It gives you a break, like almost a forcible break. Has anyone heard of this set of concepts, or does this ring, I guess, a true or for you?
Yeah, when I stress a lot, I paint. Or rather, that's how I de-stress.
Mm.
So it completely consumes me. So I have no capacity of thinking about anything or taking a problem apart. I just completely get consumed in that action, and nothing else is happening. Well, maybe listen to music in parallel, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not a, yeah, it's not an outlet where you can kind of, it's like people say, well, watching TV is not a creative outlet. You can still be stressing about something else. Like I dance, when I dance, and this is, you know, pre-COVID times, when I go out dancing, it's a great night off for my thinking brain. I am just thinking about whether I like the music or not. I'm totally just into the dancing and what's going on in the moment. It's almost like another way to be present, but with a brain that you don't use as often. So it lets the other side of the brain, which is stressing and trying to solve a problem, rest. And someone has told me you should do whatever that creative outlet is every week. Even when you're not stressed, it's helpful, because it just gives the brain a different portion to exercise and not the one that you constantly use. A lot of us are kind of left-brained in the profession we're in, and so that one was you know, was very helpful, I guess, to me, although I'm exploring what that actually is now in the COVID world. I think my equivalent COVID dance is I do like dance fitness in front of, like, you know, I have a part of online fitness thing, and when I do the dance, it you know, most of time I still, because I have to follow a set of moves, you can't exactly think about something else, you'll just not be able to follow the move. So it doesn't have to be super rigorous, it just has to give your brain something else, a different area to focus on, so that you can let go, even when you're stressed, of something that you've been just thinking about for days.
Lay it stale. I'll put a plug in for that for a different reason. So I read this book called Be Excellent at Anything, which is a goofy title, but it's just so broad. But it was a great book. It talks about a lot of different things. But one of the things it talks about is how your brain takes in problems, right? It takes in facts and figures and such on the left side, but the problem solving happens on the right side, right? Like the creative idea on how to solve something happens on the right side, and then it gets translated back to the left side to, like, then how do you execute on it? So I find that if there's some problem that I might be stressing about that I don't know how to solve, sometimes I just need to, like, kind of get it into the brain, let it marinate, go do something else, which might be dancing or bowling or painting,
yeah,
whatever it may be. And sometimes it's when that's going on that suddenly an idea, not purposely, but sometimes I get creative answers,
yeah,
new ways through that.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. No, that's a good point. I think the studies say we still only knows how the brain works, and we only use like 1-2% of our brain. So there's probably a lot more unexplored things that happens, but that's a good point. What else? Anybody else have either experiences of success or things that doesn't work, but you've tried? You know, that sometimes helps as well to discuss.
So I think along the same lines as what people are talking about, I tend to get outside, get fresh air, move. So it's not necessarily a workout, not necessarily painting. But I try to do it without my earbuds and just take, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, my commute to you. And I find that unstructured time can really unblock me, and sometimes those blockers are what's stressing me. Like something's not coming as easily as I thought it would, or I haven't found a solution to something. Just taking that 15-minute walk, I can start building connections, like the last person just talked, where I didn't have them. You know, during dance or after dance, you might have a new connection that you hadn't really thought about, because you know, your brain has been working on these things all the time you've been taking that break. So I always try to take a couple of those a day, especially now with COVID and
yeah,
home all the time.
Sounds very healthy, actually. Yeah, I think I'll give you an example of things and reasons why I'm still pursuing more. I find that I have all these methods. I've tried all the, I go running, I'll start meditating, I'll talk to my husband or someone to get advice. Sometimes they still don't work, right? I still can't let go of a problem that I want to solve, but I feel like I'm not able to control the situation or see all the variables. So I don't know, like, I can see my brain trying to solve every variable that could come up, which becomes super stressful because things hasn't happened yet. And yet I'm kind of trying to anticipate it so that I don't get jolted if it does happen. It kind of sounds almost, it doesn't sound logical, but I have observed my brain can go there at depending on how many stress factors is hitting me at once. And this is why I kind of I'm still exploring the next level is root cause of what triggers stress. And I just stumbled upon something last week that I'm going to explore. It's called positive intelligence. Have any one of you heard of this before?
Nope.
If you look it up on Google, if you're in front of your computer, positive intelligence is a course, as well as it's got a like 5-minute assessor, and it talks about three things, right? It the assessment tells you about what are your top saboteurs that's in your head, where you tell yourself a story about what happened or what could happen, and that leads you down a path of stress, anxiety, doubt, etc. And then it talks about, well, once you start recognizing who you are, that self-awareness, not just about whether you're stressed, but why you're stressed, then you might be able to intercept that a little bit earlier and notice that it happened. And then it talks about the balance between there's kind of a wise side of us in our brain, and then there's a stress set of us in our brain. It could be the good and evil, but it's kind of like one is a little bit more reactive based on what triggered us, and the other one is a little bit more calm and clear. And how, and it talks about how it kind of, how do you move from the reactive mind that kind of leads us to more stress, less sleep, you know, less healthy, etc., bad habits, everything, to catching that earlier and going to and being able to bring back what they call your sage self or your wise self and ask that person what you might want to do instead. It's pretty hypothetical right now because I've only read and took the initial free assessment, but I'm actually currently actively looking for someone who can perhaps coach me through it, because it's fascinating as a concept and it makes sense. I feel like there's as accomplished as each of us are on this call, we got there, but we also have created, like, I think what Rob shared, bad habits potentially. But those bad habits sometimes also get us through stress in a different way that isn't necessarily healthy, but it we've been able to cope a little bit. And I almost want to shake that up a little bit and see if I can develop new mental muscles. They also call this course like mental fitness, because they say, well, you know, in physical fitness, you don't like lift 400 pounds or whatever it is, run a marathon without any training. Yet mentally, we don't have a lot of ways we train our minds. Meditation, I think, is one way. This seems to be another way. There's a repetitive thing that we do today that leads us almost to the same pattern of stress and level of stress, how we respond to stress. And so I'm interested in finding out how I could actually break that, because we're all capable of it. It's just a matter of, like, do I find something that's of value that I can practice that may help me respond differently to a situation that I usually respond maybe only one way. Any of you heard of this positive intelligence? I would love to hear some feedback if you have. And
check it out.
Yeah, check it out. If I find some good path to this course, I think they sometimes say cohorts could be coached together. So if you have interest, I'll let you know what I end up doing with it. But it just seems fascinating, because it kind of almost goes at the root cause of, because on this call, the same situation will stress us completely differently. Every one of us kind of have different triggers. And I'll give you the easiest example of traffic, navigating traffic. When my husband is cut off, he is completely stressed right away, angry and everything. Versus I'm like, oh, can we just get home and ignore that idiot kind of thing. And so it's that concept, perhaps, that I believe certain people won't be stressed in the same situation where I'm stressed at. And how can I learn that? Or should I learn that, I guess, is my pursuit. Well, I want to wrap this conversation on stress management if there's no additional comments or questions. Are there any additional comments? Okay, let's move to, and thank you everyone for the input on how you navigate and manage your stress. I'm hoping you learned a couple things to try on top of what you're already doing.